Welcome to the Writer's Well podcast, conversations about writing from craft to wellness with Rachel Herron and Jay Thorne. Hello, Rachel.
Hello, Jay from California. How's it looking over in Cleveland?
It's a little cooler today, but it's fall, so we'll take it. How are things there? You're not in the middle of any wildfires, are you?
No wildfires, and my power never went out. Power went out all around me, like, you know, 3 blocks to the north, 2 blocks to the south. And we are in the cutoff zone still until today. I think today's the last day we're in the cutoff zone, but we never lost it. So didn't lose any food in the fridge.
Good.
Most importantly, the food is still there. Yeah. Everything else is going good though. How about you? How's writing?
Writing is good. Banking words, working on a few different projects, a few podcast projects in the works. So, lots of fun stuff, but not nearly as exciting as getting ready to go on a little vacation. You are. Tell us about it.
Forgot to tell you about it. Listeners, Jay was listening to my last podcast on How Do You Write, my solo show, and he was like, so you're going on vacation. Do we need to get some guests for you on my show with you? I had just forgotten we had a show. I didn't actually, but I knew I was going to be here this Monday, and then I just didn't know what I thought about next week. So we are going on a real vacation. This is nothing to do with work, literally nothing. I'm from Arizona, and my wife is from Idaho, but neither of us have ever seen the Grand Canyon. So we're doing the Grand Canyon, Bryce Canyon, Zion, Antelope Valley, for like a week, and then 3 days of being in Vegas. One night seeing Lady Gaga. I know, right? So we're going from like, you know, the outdoor wilderness to Gaga, which I love Gaga
and the outdoor wilderness.
She's so talented. We've seen her once before in concert, and she's magnificent on stage. She's like Dolly Parton in that, like, if she's this little to you, she holds every single person in the room in the palm of her hand.
Did you watch the season with her on American Horror Story?
No, was it good?
Oh my goodness, you have to watch it. I know you get kind of creeped out, but like
I can every once in a while do American Horror Story, especially if I'm allowed just to like bury my face in the pillow for a lot of it, and then
she is so good in it. I don't want to spoil it. I don't want to ruin it.
Tell me anything.
I'm telling you, she's awesome. You'll love it. It's the hotel season.
The hotel one. Ooh, yeah. I'm scared of hotels anyway. we're doing that, and since I don't drink, I am just planning on spending a lot of money buying virgin pina coladas at the pool. I don't care if it's raining. I don't think it will be. I haven't looked at the weather, but I'm just gonna chill and bring books and more books and more books. I might do a little bit of plotting for a series I'm thinking about writing, but that will just be fun play and no other play.
Awesome. And those
screw off on emails. Oh,
that's great. Those national parks are some of my favorite. Like, you've got like, that's like Arches, Moab, Bryce, yes, Zion, all of those in the Four Corners area. Oh, I love those.
And apparently we're going on closing week. Like, so some things will be closed, but all the things that we want to do, like the Southern Rim, will still be open. But what people have said is that when you reach closing week, there's like lots of people, and then they're gone.
Oh, yeah.
Out there. So we were kind of hoping to do that because we're just crossing into cold weather now.
Have you been to any of the other ones and the other parks? Oh,
no. Never been anywhere there.
The hoodoos at Bryce are going to blow your mind.
Really?
Oh my God, they'll blow your mind. Yeah, you're going to feel like you're on a different planet.
Oh, I can't wait. I've carefully done no research whatsoever. Lala has done the research. Sometimes I get very into research for a trip. And then other times I just like to go with serendipity in mind and just see what happens. And that's what's happening this time. So, and we have GPS, you know, so
yeah,
you just put in what you want and drive and find what you find. Yeah. So that's what I'm going to be doing. And I'm really looking forward to it.
That is great.
Yay. Well, in terms of around here, we have no new patrons, but you can always check out our Patreon over at patreon.com/thewriterswell. And not to do that teasy thing, but we are going to be doing something in future months that will be just for patrons. First. So putting that out there.
We're going to add a little something to the Patreon pool.
Yep. Which I think will be fun. Tell us about the comments, because I haven't gotten there yet.
Yeah. Well, we have a ton. I wanted to do a little bit of a tease because next week you won't be here, but a friend of mine who is a frequent commenter in the comments will be sitting in.
Who is it?
Do I have to tell you now?
No, but I'm going to guess Chris, Lon, or Edwin is probably, it's probably one of them. Or maybe Becky.
I'll tell you later, but I'm not going to tell you now.
That's so exciting.
I know you like surprises.
I love this plan. I love surprises. Okay.
Yeah. So, all right. Last week's episode was number 144. And the question was, is it worth it? And this kind of, I think this kind of broke the writerswell.org for a while.
Really? Oh my gosh. I'm going right out. I was going to look beforehand, but then we chatted beforehand anyway.
Yeah. So, lots cool. And lots of comments. People were really, invested in the question. Just so many interesting comments there. Probably too many to hit at one time, but, you know, Chris Wills, obviously comes in there first. He said, sit down, grasshopper, and meditate on this. Could it be that in your mind you had already reached your destination?
Oh, you know, I think about that a lot.
Yeah. It's sort of like if
this is the destination, this is where we're sitting right now.
Yeah. 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 Jeff chimed in. He said he's in the middle of Is It Worth It season right now.
I love that because it does come around again and again and again.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Rebecca talked about a lower stakes version of the question for her being processes of writing a draft and then realizing that literally everything about it is wrong.
But then finding the seed that came out of it. Yeah. Gorgeous.
Yeah. Eliza, who took a few weeks off, said, wow, my first week back responding and it's a doozy. And she made a great comment to me, which got me thinking. And she said, you know, she asked me if I had thought that maybe my intended path lies more in nonfiction than fiction, which is an interesting question I've been thinking about. So thanks for that, Eliza.
Ooh, I won't even ask you to go into that now. That's a question for another day.
Yeah, yeah. Edward, your VA was in there. Yes. Saying, thanks for the shout out. And he thought it was a pretty good conversation. He said he's concerned about money and insurance, but mainly insurance.
Yeah, and yeah, I mean, that's America, a big one. It's so difficult.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Yeah, Maggie said we had her laughing and crying on the work on our way to work today. So I thought that was good. I could picture her laughing and crying. And she, who else do we have in here that commented? Kate came in and said she's still dreaming of full-time author entrepreneurship. It's easy to forget that the dream job is still a job with its own problems and doubts. So that is true. That is true. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Chris Kane, I think responded to Kate too. I don't know if she came in here with a question. It's one she's been struggling with. And the last answer, the answer has been, no, it's not worth the amount of time I've been spending on work, meaning in regards to her family, which I thought was a different angle on answering that question.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Jeff said we must have been listening into his conversations. Yeah, Jeff, we've hacked your Amazon device.
Both your shows. And yeah.
So we know exactly what you're talking about. Sarah wanted to come in and say that she wanted you to, maybe you to know, maybe both of us, that many novels have changed her life and gotten her through hard times. So we shouldn't always assume that fiction doesn't have that impact.
I absolutely agree. And me too, yep. Sarah. I definitely agree with that.
And then, we had comments from Paul and Kim and Rachel and SJ and Jenny. And if there's any other specific ones you want to call out, feel free to jump in there. But like I said, there's so many.
I'll just say that we did get a mutual friend who reached out to us and talked about real kind of beliefs that are behind money and how we look at it. And I will put out there that I have been really reading about money, like something that I would believe is life-changing. I'd already put into practice most of the principles in the book, but have you read The Ramit Sethi, I Will Teach You to Be Rich?
Yes, I have.
So good. It's such a stupid title, but it's so good. And I'm getting Rich Dad, Poor Dad, which Joanna Pan always recommends. I loved Get Rich, Lucky Bitch. It's just all about changing our mindset about money.
Yeah.
And I need to be doing that because I really have a poverty mindset. I always have. Yep. So I'm working on changing that.
And we love our mutual friend for reaching out like that discreetly and with so much care. It really meant a lot to both of us.
Yeah, it really did.
All right. So
all right.
I got a question for you.
I'm ready.
It's totally selfish on my part. So I'm going to ask you, and then when I answered, I'm going to tell you why I asked you for me.
Okay.
And we have talked, we've talked about this topic in slightly different words, but I think that this is a little different. So I'm just going to ask you, and then you can put it into whatever context you want. Should you give up or double down?
should I give up or double down? Well, I'm definitely not giving up. And I'm usually doubling down.
Now,
if you double down regularly, that means you've got no time left to breathe. Right?
Well, I think it might be worth clarifying in case people aren't familiar with the, I think it originated in poker. The question isn't, should I keep going or quit? The question is, do I quit or double my efforts?
Yes.
Right.
Almost like folding folding up the cards. Like, I'm just going to pull it back for this hand, or am I going to redouble my efforts?
Yes.
So in like an umbrella statement, I generally have always gone big or I have gone home. And when I get scared, I go big. When I am confident, I go big. When I am unself-confident, I go big. That's, you know, I signed up to run a marathon and I had never been able to finish running a mile in my life, even in high school. Like, when you're supposed to run that mile for that president's mile thing, I never made it. But that's how I do things. I had never finished a book before I did NaNoWriMo. And recently, you know, thinking about all of these, why bother? And is it worth it? It is so worth it for me that I am doubling down on the amount of words written that I'm planning for 2020. A friend of ours, I'll tell you about that later, but it will become public, is having an ongoing group challenge that's going to be going on for 2020. And I'm joining it. And that's why I'm thinking about, on this vacation, outlining a new series, because I am never going to be a book a month person.
No, I'm just not. I won't
either. But I can pretty comfortably write between 2 and 4 books a year. Mm-hmm. The most I ever wrote was 5, you know, down to 1. But I know that if I just put my butt in the production chair, good work gets done. Or actually, bad work gets done and then gets revised to be good work. And that is the most important thing to me. I love teaching and I love coaching and I love doing the things that I'm passionate about. What I'm passionate about is writing books, both fiction and nonfiction. So I am doubling down, but there's a caveat to that, in that whenever I double down, I still understand the laws of physics. My 24 hours are not expandable. And as I get older, I need more sleep, not less sleep. I used to get by on 4 hours of sleep. Now I'm like happy with 8 or 9, and I'm not willing to give that up. So whenever I double down on anything, I have to start asking myself questions about what I can give up, what I am going to let go, not what I can bear to let go, but what I will let go. If I'm going to be writing more, I need to be letting go of something, because right now my days are very full. I can't add more without subtracting something.
Yes.
So for me, yes to doubling down, and yes to really weighing the pros and cons of every single activity that takes my time. Podcasts are not going anywhere. This is like Joanna Penn always says, this is part of our body of work. Mm-hmm. And this really, really pleases me. But other things, there's going to be some other things put on the back burner, and maybe other things brought forward to make up for the income lost or whatever it is. But I'm a double downer for sure. I'm a quadruple downer. I'm a quadruple downer, live to regret it. That's what I am.
So tell me what doubling down on your words looks like in 2020.
I think it actually means doubling down.
Like physically doubling your words.
Physically, yes. Because I've only written, I keep track of it so I could look it up. But over this past year, I have written 2 books, maybe 1.5 books. And I'd like to write 3 next year. So giving that the time and space to write fully and edit well. But what that means is no more of my, you know, my mornings from 8 till noon are always working. And lately, for the last few months, other work has been creeping up into the morning time, you know, marketing stuff or teaching stuff. And so for me, doubling down includes going back to clear that 4 hours in the morning for nothing but creation or revision, nothing but. There's no excuse. Like right now, I'm teaching the Stanford class. So every Monday morning, I'm grading all morning. Like when we're talking right now, I'm not even done grading yet. And that's something that has to happen because I teach at Stanford. But will I teach at Stanford next year? I don't. At this point, I'm leaning towards no. I think I want to try to.
It might be one of the things you have to stop doing, right?
Exactly. It takes an inordinate amount of time, which, and I love doing it, but it's, you know, always going to be on my resume and I can always do it again. So, but I do have to say, I know none of my students are listening, but it's such a good class this year. I have the best luck with students. They're beautiful. They're beautiful. And they're beautiful writers. So that's what it looks like for me is, taking stock of what I want, what does my soul and my heart and my pocketbook, the most amount of good, and making room at the same time for relaxation, which I'm really bad at, and health and all of the stuff we always talk about. Nice. What about you? I want to know why you're asking this.
Okay. Well, I have a very specific reason for this.
Yeah.
It's been, as we record this, it's been a little over 4 months since Thriller Fest. And I pitched a manuscript there.
Oh.
And I'm going to ballpark it and say there were 12 or 15 requests for full or partial manuscripts. Mm-hmm. And I think 3 to 4 have sent me solid rejections. But mm-hmm. they were good rejections because they were personal. And mm-hmm. in fact, 2 of them were full reads, which I was just...
That's amazing.
I was grateful that they read like the entire thing.
Yeah.
But now my question is this. We're getting into that space and time, and I'm asking you because I don't know this world the way you do. At what point do I write off that manuscript and say, well, now it's been 6 months or 7 months and I haven't heard anything from these other 8 or 9 or 10 agents and editors? Do I say, well, there must be something wrong with the manuscript, just forget it and I'll query something again? Or do I double down and do I say, well, maybe it's just not the right editor or the right agent who's read that yet. So do I work even harder? Do I double down on my efforts to get it to that right person?
Because I've read it, may I give you my advice, which then you can Please. Either take or reject. Then this is not me guessing what kind of writer you are. This is me knowing what kind of writer you are and what this book is. I think you should double down and not consider this question until you have accumulated 50 agent rejections. Mm. And that includes 6 weeks with no answer. At 6 weeks with no answer, it goes to a no. And if they get back to you in 3 months and say, oh my God, I love it, then it's a pleasant surprise. But but 50 is my bare minimum I usually recommend. And if somebody really desperately wants to be traditionally published, I recommend 100. Sophie. So our friend Sophie Littlefield was over 100.
Yeah.
And she ended up with the best agent ever, you know, mm-hmm. for her. And I ended up with the best agent ever for me, even though I'd never heard of this agent. And she was just starting her business. So I was her second client. And that meant everything because we've grown together. This book, I think, has real commercial appeal and would sell well on display at a bookstore, which is why I say that. And you know that too. And that's why you were headed this direction to try it.
Yeah.
The fact remains you have enough product right now. You're always making more product with you and Zach. You can make more product quickly. This book can, it's not a time sensitive book.
Right.
Unfortunately, the apocalypse is ever ongoing. So you're not constrained by that. This book can sit around for another, you know, give it another 6 months and 50 agents if that's your number or whatever it is, but it can sit there. I think it is strong. I think it is, honest to God, beautiful and strong enough as is to get an agent and to sell to an editor. An editor will probably have other revisions for you. Sure. Every editor will have other revisions for you that I could not see. Mm-hmm. But that's what my advice would be. Hmm. Because you want this in this way, right?
I you do, want it but I don't know how bad I want it. You know what I mean? Like I would like to have an agent validate that this is a great story, and I'd love an agent to be able to sell it to a publisher. But I'm not like hell bent on it, and I'm not hanging like my entire future on this one manuscript. Like, as far as I'm concerned, it's already done. Like, it's
yes,
you know, like I wrote it, it's done, it's sunk costs, like whatever, it's just there now. I guess like I was trying to figure out where, like, how do I interpret a no response? Like, I can interpret rejection, but how do I interpret nothing? Do I take that as a no?
It is absolutely a no, because what it is the intern in charge of looking at the submissions just deleted it. And that's their no now, because they knew that their agent that they're working for is not looking for this particular genre or is not interested in this particular subject. Mm. And so that's generally the intern deleting, which is why it's just gone away.
But these were pitch fest.
Oh yeah. These were all, so those, if they were requested, so these were requested pitches, right?
Yes.
You always follow up with those after about, 4 to 6 weeks or 4 months or whenever it is, because it was requested and put in the subject line, requested materials query.
Okay.
And then say, I'm just checking in, pinging you back to see if you got this.
Okay.
If they're cold, after 6 weeks is a no.
But
these weren't cold. But also I have to point out, like, big picture, 12 or 18 rejections, if that's what they all come down to being, that's not many. That's
right.
Very few.
Right.
To expect it to get an agent from. So
right.
I just think you should keep playing with this.
Well, maybe I will.
The other because is hybrid writers are the highest paid in the industry. Hybrid writers make more than indie publishers on average and more than traditionally published authors.
Yeah.
Because you can always veer. You've always got another way to veer.
See, I'm a lot like you though. I'm afraid I'll just go like quadruple in and I'll be spending way too much time researching agents and sending query letters.
Oh, honey, don't spend any time researching agents. That's my advice. Go to agentquery.com, drop it down for the genre you want and send 5 a week.
Okay.
You never have to do that silly, I loved how you agented this book. They do not care. The only time to put that in a query letter is when they did agent the road and it's the book that changed your life, etc. And that's why you're perfect for each other. But otherwise, we don't make false connections. You just say, here's, I'd like to present my book.
Okay. Well, that's manageable. That's
and it's copy and paste.
Yeah.
You spell their name right. That's the only thing you change in there. That's all. And that's doable. And it's out of your head. And then you log it down on your Excel spreadsheet or whatever you're logging it in, who you send it to, what agency they work for, because you don't want to send to two agents at the same agency at the same time.
Right.
But other than that, you just keep track of what goes out and comes back in.
Well, that doesn't sound too bad then.
No. And I know your query letter is great. So either give yourself a time or a number, but a number is probably better. And just do it. This book can sit around a little bit longer.
Yeah, like I said, it's not hurting me not having it anywhere, so I don't care.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And it's an experiment. It's a grand experiment. Mm-hmm. So, excellent. And then do it with your heart, like, solid feet on the floor.
Yeah.
Thing. Here go 5 more careers. You know.
Yeah. All right. I don't have any major expectations or like I said, I'm not. There were a few who were in that room for different reasons who I was really kind of hoping, and all of those people have already said no. So at this point, I'm just like, okay, well then I'm just going to kind of keep putting it out there and see if anyone gravitates towards it.
And therefore blind is the best, because like by the time I was doing just completely blind, I realized how good it was. And then when I suddenly had two agents interested in me, that's when I researched them. Mm. And that's when I talked to both of them on the phone. And that's when I picked the one that was the best for me. Then that's when I did the hard research. Okay. But otherwise they're just out there floating around.
Okay, good. I was under the impression I had to like go and make sure I knew what they were into and what they did on Friday nights and all.
They do not care.
Okay.
Do not care. As long as they like the only agent cookbooks and you send them your book. And
Like,
it wouldn't be appropriate, but as long as they deal with your genre, then you're good. Oh, I'm glad you asked.
Yeah, thanks. I said it was a very selfish question, but it, at a higher level, I think it is, it's a little different than should I keep going or give up?
Definitely.
it's a different type of situation. And I'm sure we all find ourselves in positions where it's like, well, I could quit, but if I put twice as much energy into this, it might take off.
And this is the beautiful case where you don't have to put twice as much energy. Into
yeah, I guess it. Not. Yeah. I was thinking double down, like it was going to take a lot on my part, but
no, name and email.
Okay.
And I do want to make clear again, because I have been called out for an attitude that I actually don't possess on multiple shows, yours and mine. I do not believe that traditional is better than indie. On many days, I believe that indie is just flat out better than traditional in many ways. But I just feel like if anybody is interested in it for any reason, there's no reason not to query.
Who would call you out with that attitude. Oh. That is so not accurate.
It happens. I'm a snobby, traditionally published author.
Okay. Well, I don't have to say that.
Not our listeners, not our listeners.
No, not our beautiful people.
Exactly. So what's the question for our listeners then? Exactly that?
Yeah, maybe if there's let us know if there's a situation when you've given up or doubled down and what happened, you know, in writing or just in life in general.
Yeah. Oh, good one. Good one, Jay.
Well, thanks. Thanks for helping me out.
I will enjoy listening to the mystery guest next week. I will actually be in Vegas by the time the mystery guest comes out. So don't tell me who it is. I want to be surprised.
All right.
Yeah. Okay, happy writing to you.
Same to you. Bye.